The SoCal Sound Sessions are listener and member supported. Please consider becoming a subscribing member. Click subscribe now at the top of the SoCalSound.org and make sure to choose live sessions from the drop-down menu.
Welcome to another 88.5 SoCal Sound Session. Julie Slater, midday host. I am here with the LA band Long Beach. I guess you guys are Long Beach in the house, yeah. LBC. Mm-hmm. It is Kilo Bravo. Welcome, boys.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
Let's do a little intro. So we got Chris.
Yep.
Vocals, guitar. Dave, slapping that bass. Mm-hmm. We got Adrian, guitar. Greg, what do you do?
This sort of thing.
Okay, cool.
Nothing much beyond that.
Yeah. So is the original, did you guys get together originally, you two, in like 2018 or something?
So 2018, I did an EP kind of by myself. I wasn't trying to start a band, but it just happened. And I started working on putting a band together to play live. And then me and Dave, we're all old friends. Dave and I have been in bands previously, like years and years before that. And
did you guys meet at playing pool? That's the story online.
Oh.
Shooting some pool.
Is that story online? I mean, the first time we ever met was in a friend's garage. We were playing pool.
That's true. Who said that? Who said that?
I don't know. I don't know why that.
Guys, I've done some deep research on you guys.
But yeah, that
I'm a journalist.
Yeah.
That is how we were doing when we met.
We were playing pool in a friend's garage, and then we had pretty much the same sense of humor, and it kind of took off from there.
Yeah.
And we became buds. I moved back home to Pennsylvania for a little bit, came back, and then we started hanging out more and
playing music.
Say, hey man, want to start a band?
Yeah,
pretty much. I mean, he came in when I like put together a collection of songs that were intended for the first record, and I was like, hey, I really want you to play on these. And then around the same time, we started jamming with Greg for fun to see how it felt. And Greg's all over the record. I think that record has three drummers, but Greg's on more than half of it.
And that came out in 2020?
2020, Chew This Slow. And yeah, we've all known each other for over 10 years now.
I mean, most importantly, who's the best pool player?
That's a good question.
It's not me.
We should have a little tournament.
I think Greg.
We should find out. Greg's probably pretty good.
Well, you hang out at bars a lot. At pool halls, right?
Yeah, pool hall. the old billiards club.
Yeah, but, you know me.
Greg looks like a pool player.
I do.
You can give off that vibe.
You do.
I don't know. I feel like you could maybe do it.
Okay.
Are you okay? Yeah, I'm not that good at it.
What does a pool player look like? I just imagine some salty old guy that's been hanging out in the same bar stool for.
He definitely has an eye patch. He has an eye patch. At least one eye patch.
That's so you can focus.
Yeah, exactly. He's not even missing a night.
All right, so the new record. We're pulling it back. The new record is Good Grief, came out just this year.
Yeah,
last month.
Yeah.
Tell me, I guess, well, the title, of course, sounds like you guys went through some stuff. We've joked chatting with each other. A lot of cursing on this record. Are you guys really mad?
I mean,
it's just fun.
I haven't like thought a lot about the context of everything recently because we recorded it, a couple years ago. But I've had a lot of people be like, man, you sound pretty angry. And I think I was like that time period, like I personally was going through a lot of stuff that like even these guys probably don't know about, but it was just like really hard times for me. And on top of that, we all dealt with the same thing at the same time that was super traumatic in a way. And
going through the pandemic.
Going through the pandemic and being like subjected to like just this onslaught of like information, negative information mostly on like every day. And it was really frustrating for me. And turns out I had a few things to say about it all.
And what about, you played three songs for us. Tell us about the flood. It sounds like a flood of information. Are you a big, like, do you really lock into news? Do you listen to a lot of news? Some of the lyrics seem sort of, maybe that's some of it.
Yeah, I honestly try to not take in too much of it because it's all, hit and miss. You never know what's real anymore. It's hard to decipher, especially I would see most of it on like social media or something. It's like, that's the worst place to see it. The flood is, I don't know, it's just me like thinking about the future of our planet and the current situation we're in. And, you know, I was just like, that song in particular, I was just like thinking about how, like, oh, we're like sitting on our phones, rotting our brains, letting people tell us what reality is. And I don't know, trying to look at it from the outside. And it sounds like a sad song. It's supposed to be hopeful.
Did you feel hopeful after recording the record?
Yeah.
All of you?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that song, felt really good about it.
That song in particular we did live, right?
Oh, yeah. That song, it's funny. I actually wrote that song the morning of our last day in the studio. Like, got up at 6 in the morning and sat on a patio and wrote it. And then we were, like, about to wrap up, and a producer was like, hey, we got time. I was like, I got a song.
I love that.
And that's probably the third take. Yeah. That's the first time I ever sang it without messing it up.
Well, let's give it a listen now. The Flood, it is Kilo Bravo, right now at 88.5.
Don't look so surprised. On the brink of our demise. It's easy to surmise that you don't realize that you've been poisoning your mind. Total lack of self-control. Living in the hypothetical. The earth is flat and digital, but you can't say that. It's not the time to joke. Assuming that we stand a chance against our problematic past. Well, all you need is a straight white guy like me to tell you. I've been thinking that I don't want to think again. We're slowly sinking in an ocean of our pollution. Let's not talk about that we've been taught. What a nation living under a rock. Well, I guess it's not so bad. After all, to quote the white suburban model and designer overalls. 10 billion clicks on visual politics. Yeah, it's all nonsense, and they're making us subscribe to it. Assuming that we turn around before the flood reaches your town. Well, all we need is free delivery. Again, we're slowly sinking in an ocean of our pollution. Let's not talk about the lies that we've been taught. One nation living under a rock. Friends, why you been freaking the hell out? I still believe that we'll get through.
of thinking that I don't want to think again. We're slowly sinking in an ocean of our pollution. Let's not talk about the lies that we picked up.
So I loved when I was looking up, we've been featuring you guys as a local music spotlight, but I always want to find like, oh wow, I wonder if these guys have any new music, because we were playing a song from your other album. And then all of a sudden I heard the song Lucinda, and I just, we were joking, like, I think it's the biggest banger on the record, even though every song's a banger. But it's a really great, it's such a good song. So tell me, I guess, you know, what went into that?
That song? You know, that's a song that I didn't know we were going to put on the record.
I really wanted to do it. He sent me the demo, and I was like, we got to do this.
Yeah, I demoed it out, and it was just kind of, it's actually kind of funny. It kind of ties into the station. I remember I was going for a jog, and Mookie was like, hey, I'm going to play your guys' song this time, this day. And I was like, cool, I'm off that day. I'll go for a jog and listen. And he played a song from someone else, I can't remember who, and I was like, oh, I like how it starts, like, with just bass and drums. Like, I can't even say who it was, but, like, it just, like, inspired me on the spot. And I went home, and I was just like, I want to start a song like that. And I demoed this thing, and I was like, I don't know if this really sounds like us, like, it's very different from the last record. And I sent it to him, and he's like, yeah, we got to record that. And I think even our producer was like, I don't know if this is you guys. And we talked him into it, and it came out great.
Yeah,
that's funny. I love that song.
Yeah. I mean, I do too.
Such a strong, musically is so great, but even lyrically, even though there's some questionable lyrics that I had
it's,
added
it's
out
a little
to
strong.
Put it on.
You know, yeah.
Well, I remember in the demo when we went in to record it, I think Greg kicked it up a couple notches in the tempo, and like that just felt like that felt right. Like it's like really fast and quick, and yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I would say recording it was challenging.
Why?
Well, we'd never rehearsed it. Like, we didn't know how to play it. Like, so we had to learn it while we were recording. And it was just like, it's a tough song. Like, Greg's basically like
on the entire time.
Like, ripping the whole song. Like, that's Greg's song.
Moves.
And it's quick. Like, everything moves quick. It's a short song. And yeah, as you said, some questionable lyrics that they were definitely protested in the studio by our producer also. And we had to have a group vote.
Shocking. And what about, we were kind of joking that there's a lot of expletives on the whole record that you were saying, like, well, I didn't really, like, write this thinking it was going to be on the radio or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
And
yeah.
Then you had something kind of funny to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, I never thought that, like, especially, like, public radio is going to care about us. Like, we're a small band from...
We care about you guys.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's stations like you guys that really build a lot of bands and give us, you know, our project our voices to people that want to hear it. But I was in the mindset, I was like, no one cares. Like, just say what we want to say and, like...
Do what you want.
Yeah, if it lends itself to, like, being, like, a word that makes sense in the song, like, I don't like pointless profanity, like... Which is crazy because there's so much popular music where that's like the thing that it does. And that was another thing that inspired me. I was like, well, if Post Malone could say this in his single 10 times, why can't I say it in a song no one's going to listen to?
Normalize it. Yeah, there you go.
Well, let's listen to Lucinda.
We'll be right back.
We are here with Kilo Bravo, Julie Slater, 88.5, the SoCal Sound. Tell me where, I always like to know, can you tell me where most of the songs were written and also where you exactly, what studio you were at, where you were recording?
Okay, most of the songs are written in my bedroom or on a porch or anywhere I'm holding a guitar. There were songs that I brought in with these guys that were like, a verse and an idea, and we flush it out and turn them into songs. Like, I don't think we have a formula. Like, we just write how we write and
just go for it.
We recorded at in a studio that I think it's still officially the Music Box Studio. It was formerly in Fullerton. Now it's in Idlewild, California, run by John O'Brien, who's our producer. He's produced everything we've done. So it's fun. We got to go out there and stay for like a chunk of time and record instead of like, usually when we're a band like us trying to be conservative with our money, it's like record a couple days, go home every night. So it was nice to like camp out and really make a record and like not have any outside things kind of distracting us.
How long did it take to record the whole album?
Four weekends?
It's four 3-day weekends.
Yeah. 12 days.
Between January and March of 2022.
Yep, 12 days to make a record. Just the longest time I've ever spent on a record.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
As far as, like, the recording process, for sure.
So tell us about the song The Tantrum. How did that come about? And did it come out exactly like you imagined?
I mean, that song was brought... That was another song we weren't really planning on recording because I didn't know it existed. We got to the studio and we were going through... I had this list of 25, 30 songs. And what I always do with John, our producer, is we kind of like get together and go, these are ones we're really excited about. These are ones that we think are good. And these are the ones like, forget it. And we were like, narrowed our list down to like 15 or something. And John was like, hey, do you remember that one song I sent you like a year ago or 6 months ago or something? And then I was like, oh, yeah, that's a cool song, man. You should record it. And he's like, you should record it. And so The Tantrum was written by John, mostly. I got to contribute some lyrics, and we arranged it on the spot and recorded it very quickly, actually.
Yeah. Between you guys sussing it out and then us playing it, I didn't think it was going to sound like that.
Yeah. It was a very like kind of like acoustic-driven, just kind of folk song, I guess. And we're like, let's make it sound like us.
Well, let's listen to it right now. The Tantrum, Kilo Bravo. We'll be right back.
precious pet, you're bound to break the rules. Voted most likely to get out with you. Bed seats, we're all guilty and we're innocent. As if anyone could tell the difference.
We are chatting with Kilo Bravo, Julie Slater, 88.5, the SoCal Sound. Tell me, I guess you already talked about writing more music, so it's kind of wild. You just put out this record, and now you guys are already working on another album?
I mean, that's the goal, yeah. We've just started the process of, like, me sending them songs and us getting together and just working on ideas. We're going to be back in the studio, actually, this weekend, working on a couple things. Hopefully, but the goal for me is, and us, is to make another record. But who knows? We'll see how that goes. We don't have, last time I scheduled, like, this is when we're going to make our record. This time we're just like, let's get in the studio, record some stuff, and see how we feel. We also have more new music that's recorded that something's going to be coming out again in a couple months. Because, well, I don't know, I don't want to hold on to it. Do you want it?
Gotta get it out there.
Yeah, I mean, like, writing, making records is my favorite thing, and performing. But I love making records. It's so fun.
And what bands, like, what are your two, maybe two top two bands that influence you, each one
oh
of you?
Oh, my God. Just two. Like, as us, or just...
As a person?
Just a person, yeah.
Oh, The Clash is my favorite band of all time, bar none, for sure.
It's always a tough question.
Because it's like, I have favorite bands, and then bands that inspire my... musicianship. I don't know. You go and I'll think about it.
Zeppelin, the Beatles. Those are my comfort, I guess, comfort bands.
I mean, I love 80s Britpop, so Duran Duran and David Bowie. Yeah.
You've got like two Bowie tattoos, don't you?
Just one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just one, man.
Just one.
He's not that. The other one's a birthmark.
Yeah. That happens to be the shape of David Bowie.
Yeah.
Biggest influences, I mean, as a songwriter, absolutely the Beatles and... My favorite band is probably Wilco.
and I saw you have them DJing all month. That's exciting.
They're our April Artists in Residence. Yeah, that's super fun.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I saw them like 3 times last year.
Can we hang out in the studio when that's happening?
Yeah. Just stay right here. Just don't leave. What about favorite shows? Like, do you have a concert you've gone to that's blown you away?
So many.
Favorite shows. I mean, every time I think of this, the thing that comes to mind was I saw Foo Fighters when I was like 18, and it like blew my head off. I was like, whoa, this is a rock band.
They're one of the best live bands. Them and the Hives are like my favorite bands to see live. They're really fun.
There's a local band called Charles Mansion, and they got back together for like a reunion show, and that was one of the best shows ever.
I was at that show.
Yeah.
That was a good show, very good show.
Sonic Youth playing Daydream Nation in its entirety at the Greek Theater. I don't know what year that was. I think I was still in high school when I saw that show, but that was a pivotal moment in my life.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Are you guys all from Long Beach then? Or is that where you guys gathered?
That's like home base. Yeah.
It's like where the band's kind of from.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your favorite thing about Long Beach and least favorite?
Parking.
Parking is awful.
Everyone across the board, least favorite is parking.
Now, Long Beach is such a great town. There's no other place probably in Southern California where I could afford to live as close to the beach as I do. Got great record stores, great places to eat, great coffee shops, great people, killer music scene. It's a good town.
Nice.
Yeah. I love Long Beach. I love the food. I love the culture. Highlight spots, Fingerprints Records. Like, gotta go to Fingerprints. Go to Vine. Mm-hmm. It's like our hang. One of our favorite places to play.
I got to shout out 12's. 12's Record Shop.
12s, yeah.
7th and Olive.
Yeah.
Are you guys vinyl collectors?
I am, for sure. Yeah. That's the place to go.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And if you want a good New York style slice of pizza, go to Little Coyote.
Yeah.
They do a good version of that, which everyone says that it doesn't exist on the West Coast, but
it's hard to find. Very hard to find. So definitely going to have to take a trip down there.
Yeah, the pizza here is okay.
Dave's from the East Coast.
Yeah. He's not from here.
He's a Philly transplant, correct?
Yeah.
Well, you guys, thank you for coming by. Everybody, the new album is Good Grief. Kilo Bravo. Can't wait for some live shows. You said you might be having a show coming up.
Yeah, we'll be playing Costa Mesa on June 8th at the Wayfair, and we'll be at the Monty Bar in Los Angeles on June 22nd. It's actually like a Kinks thing night, so we'll be doing some Kinks songs too, as well as our songs. And we'll have some other stuff coming up.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming by. Yeah,
thanks for having us. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, it's been rad. It.
Thanks for editing some of those bad words out of your
show. It was hard, but we tried.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
Appreciate you.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound, hosted by Julie Slater. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce, edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College, streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.